the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching. We want to thank you for subscribing to the show today, and so we have an amazing free gift for you with Dr. Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips. It is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level, and you can get your copy for free at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Today on the show, we have an incredible guest for you, Karen Sherwood. Karen is the founder of Nutritious America, and you met her partner Abra Papa on a show recently. And today Karen talks about nutrition. She's an expert in nutrition, and she talks a lot about whole food nutrition, the importance of whole food nutrition, getting enough fruits, vegetables, berries, whole grains, legumes and beans, which are the same thing, and nuts and seeds in your diet. It's so important that you have whole food nutrition in your diet. She talks to you about why that is, about all the nutrients and enzymes and phytochemicals that are found in these whole foods, and why it's so important to make those small changes every day that over time will build your snowball of health going into the right direction. And that's, you know, what I've been preaching for many years, that it's so important that you start with just one change at a time and then just move from there one step at a time, one step at a time. You know, an apple a day really can keep the doctor away. That is, if you stick to it, if you actually do those little small habits every day. And so Karen talks to you about exactly how to do it and what to do. So enjoy the show, take great notes, and make it an incredible day.
Well, Karen, thanks so much for being with us today on the Authentic Health Coaching Show. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your background and what got you interested in nutrition?
Great. Thanks for having me. Yes, I am a graduate of the Global College of Natural Medicine. I have a degree from Emerson College in Boston for Communication Performing Arts. Lots of yoga training, a lot of holistic modalities and things like that. I don't know, I guess it started when I was a kid. My sister, my older sister, was into nutrition from a very early age. She would always read the back of all the cereal boxes and the packaged foods and everything that we were eating, and always had something to say about it. And I guess I didn't really make the connection as a kid, but it wasn't until I got a little bit older that, wow, you know, she really knows what she's talking about. And, you know, she kind of went into school to be a dietitian, and then I branched out a little bit and really was driven toward the holistic side of things. So it's kind of fun to have it in the family, you know, bounce stuff off of each other once in a while. But we both, in our own way, have helped a lot of people, and it's been the most rewarding experience, I think, these last probably 6 or 7 years for me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And does your sister work in nutrition as well?
Yes, she does. She's over on the East Coast, and I'm over here in L.A., and we must talk on the phone at least once or twice a day, just kind of sharing, you know, stories and ideas, because it is a little bit of a different path, you know, going for, you know, dietitian and holistic nutrition. So, like, she works more in hospitals and things like that, and, you know, and I've got my own clients with all different, you know, from all ends of the spectrum, different issues from weight loss to, you know, cancer prevention to heart disease, blood sugar, you know, helping people just help people really get their lives on track. So it's in the family.
That's awesome. And so what are some of the differences between, you know, a dietitian and a holistic nutritionist?
Well, you know, they've got the ADA. They've got all those rigid rules to follow, I think. And, you know, in my professional opinion, from what I've seen, a lot of them are a little bit outdated. And I think that she even agrees with that. So a lot of times, you know, if she has a question about a supplement or a food, for example, she'll oftentimes, you know, call me and ask me what I think first before she, you know, goes ahead and makes a suggestion to a client. So I think that's kind of the bigger thing. I think that holistic nutritionists are a little bit more cutting edge. Not to put down the dietitians, but I think those are probably the basic differences, I would say. And Nutritious America is, you know, my company. We kind of veer a little bit closer to the holistic side. I mean, we definitely are East meets West, as far as the different modalities that we will suggest to our clients. But for the most part, we come from the holistic or whole mindset.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the difference between the East and West then, because I think that's a big issue, and a lot of people, they understand Western medicine, and it's mostly about, you know, treatment. Let's, you know, once you've got the cancer or the heart disease, let's treat it. And in
right.
The East, they're a lot more about prevention, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I talk to my clients about this a lot, because I think everyone always wants a quick fix. You know, I've just found out, let's say I've got stage 2, stage 3 cancer, God forbid. You know, they're told to talk to a nutritionist, and they just want, you know, they just want the easy way out. And I, and of course their first inclination is to go to an oncologist, where they'll just go ahead and prescribe radiation or chemotherapy. And they're not really focused on, I think, really what the problem is, what's going wrong inside the body. I always explain, and just using cancer as an example, is that it's not just one illness, it's several different metabolic functions going awry at the same time. And so to keep the immune system strong would probably be my first thing for the client. And, of course, working with doctors can be difficult at times, but we definitely go from the more, you know, preventative phase, and if not, if it is a little bit late, then it's more adjuvant therapies, I think, if they do end up having to do, let's say, chemo or radiation or things like that. And for weight loss, it's the same thing, you know, and for heart disease and, you know, endocrine disorders and things. Like, everyone just wants the prescription. But I do have to say, you know, especially in the last 5 years, my clientele has gotten a lot more health savvy. It does depend on the generation, I think. But especially, you know, some of the younger people, they're really starting to get it. You know, it's not just about a quick fix. It's about fixing what's going wrong inside the body. So that's actually good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that, too, because I know a lot of people, if they've got that cancer diagnosis or that heart disease diagnosis, they think prevention somehow doesn't apply to them anymore. But, you know,
right.
Even though you have heart disease, you might develop other things as well. So focusing on prevention can be so important, isn't that right?
Exactly. It's you almost want to set the stage, you know, in your body, I always say. Just to be able to, I guess not necessarily just worrying about not getting disease, but actually feeling good and having energy, you know, every single day. People think that just because they're not sick means that they're okay, you know. And I think that that's definitely a fallacy. I think that you want to live your life with vitality. You want to have energy. You want to, you know, be able to chase your grandkids around. You don't want to have depression. I mean, there's all these different things that we're seeing. And just because someone doesn't have something wrong with them written down on paper doesn't necessarily mean that they're okay, you know. So they think, yeah, prevention, what do I have to worry about, you know? My parents are fine, you know, they have clean bills of health, but yet there's something off, you know, yet they're tired all the time, or they're constipated, or they're depressed. And, you know, I feel like there's, you know, all those things can be eliminated if people just paid attention to the way they live their life, and nutrition is obviously, I believe, 75% of it, if not more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the energy then, because that's such a common thing. I mean, so many people, they're just, like you said, they're fatigued all the time. So how does your diet affect your energy level?
Well, you know, we live in this caffeine, refined sugar, processed food society where it's, you know, instant gratification. If my energy's slumping, I'm just going to go to Starbucks and grab a Frappuccino. And, of course, that's going to help. I think that, you know, people are kind of designed to just gravitate towards what's going to help me in 5 minutes, even though an hour or two later, you know, they kind of slump. You know, my suggestion to these people is, you know, if you want to have a cup of coffee, it's okay. You know, it's not like I'm going to say don't ever have these things again, or don't ever have sugar or any of these things that are going to give you energy, but have you tried, you know, a B-complex, or have you tried greens, or, you know, starting your day off with like a really good protein smoothie that's packed with nutrients. I think no one thinks about that. They're like, well, you know, that's going to take too long to prepare, or, you know, multivitamins always make me sick to my stomach and whatever. And they haven't really taken the time, you know, to pick the right ones, or to learn how to make something that's actually pretty easy and quick for them, or to map out their day, plan a little bit so that they'll have an extra 10 minutes, you know, to do something that their body's actually craving instead of just these quick fixes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about weight then, because I know weight is such a big issue, and it's also one of the common reasons people have fatigue all the time. So what are some things that you recommend for people who want to lose weight or forage to food or things like that?
Yeah, well, weight loss is big, and you know there are lots of mistakes people make. You know, I'll start with that. You know, a couple that stand out would be that people have this all or nothing mentality. You know, which can really create some major roadblocks for them. You know, they'll say to themselves, "I need to lose weight," so the mind immediately goes to this deprivation mode, and so they either restrict calories or over-exercise, and it creates something that's just not sustainable. So this now diet represents something that they're either on or off. And chances are when they're off, they're going to slip back into this overindulgence to make up for the time that they've lost while they're on the diet. And so this vicious circle begins. And the other mistake people make is that they enter these, you know, meal programs or diet programs that temporarily eliminate entire food groups. Or one macronutrient, for example, carbs, fat, or protein. And I should mention, you know, a lot of these diets do work in the short term, but again, they're not sustainable or realistic. And in fact, some can actually be dangerous as people develop all kinds of nutritional deficiencies and in some cases toxicity, you know, depending on what food or macronutrient is prevalent in this diet plan, let's say. So all kinds of things can come up with this. Much better to create a meal plan that's realistic, balanced, and something that they can live with every day is what I would say.
Well, what does balance look like to you?
Well, balance, I think, again, would be not depriving yourself. I always like to say eating, you know, 4 to 5 meals a day, you know, spaced out maybe 3 hours to keep the blood sugar level steady, getting a little amount of protein with each meal, because I think that's another way people go wrong. So creating balance as far as nutrition. And also, you know, we talk about eating for entertainment, you know, and eating for fuel and nourishment. And those are two very different things. I think we need to have both. So, you know, it's not about never having chocolate cake again or never having a glass of wine again, but it's just creating a balance, you know, while you're trying to lose weight or get healthy or whatever your goal may be, to go ahead and do that once or twice a week. Maybe not every single day, but it's mindset, you know, not telling yourself, I can't have this. Once people give the food too much power, then they end up going down a very slippery slope. So that's what I would say balance is all about.
Mm, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's so important that you understand that it's okay to eat things in moderation, but at the same point, you know, you don't want to be eating the same fast food meals every single day. And a lot of people
right.
just get addicted to that food. So why are so many people feel like they have these cravings for these foods and they can't help themselves?
Yeah, well, first of all, the food is designed to be addictive. I mean, just if you look at something as simple as a chocolate chip cookie, you know, you've got the salt, you know, you've got the sugar. I mean, these are things primally that we're gravitated toward, these flavors. I believe even most fast food restaurants have developed almost like in a laboratory, you know, I almost want to say, putting these ingredients together, or I guess the lack of a better word, if you want to call them ingredients, like a French fry, for example, you know, there's that right amount of fat, the right amount of salt and sugar. So, you know, there's two components to this. I think that there's an emotional component, and that is that it's, of course, the instant gratification that I mentioned and the comfort. And the fact that you can get this food for very inexpensive and very quick. But then there's also this physical component, and that is that the food is designed to be addicting. I mean, looking at something like a Diet Coke, there's caffeine and there's also aspartame, and those two things together are, you know, synergistically addictive. You know, so it's more difficult for me almost to get some clients off of Diet Coke than it is, you know, off of a drug, off of like a, you know, like things like cocaine. Like people actually put those two things in the same category. So, you know, there is, you know, when I talk to clients, yes, I believe that there is absolutely an emotional component to it, but we can't forget the physical component.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, I saw a study that they did in lab mice, and they fed one group cocaine and the other group sugar water, and the group that was in sugar water became more addicted to that than the cocaine.
Wow, I'm not surprised. It's crazy. And so, you know, my suggestions to these people are, let's say, you know, someone comes into my office and they're coming from, like, 7 Diet Cokes a day. Of course, I'm not going to say, okay, tomorrow you're having none. But what we'll do is we'll kind of lean out of it, you know. So tomorrow maybe you have half of that, and then see where that goes for a few days. And then, you know, I'll bring up, you know, I'll give them other options, you know, something. I've got a few of sodas. There are sodas now made with stevia, for example, or erythritol, natural sugar alcohol, or even club soda with a little bit of like a maybe a pomegranate juice or a spritzer with some fresh lime. There's so many options now for people that I feel like they can't really make a ton of excuses anymore. There are options, and you don't necessarily have to have a Whole Foods near you to find these options. So that's my other thing. I'm never going to tell someone don't eat that or don't drink that without having substitutions for them.
You know, I think that's so important, and especially when it comes to drinks, because you know, like the average American is eating like 500 or more calories a day just from their drinks, from their soda pops and smoothies and milkshakes and things. And that's just contributing to the diabetes and the obesity and all this stuff. And like you said, there's these simple, tasty, delicious substitutes that we can put in place of those and just make a huge difference in your health.
Yes, it does. It does. And sometimes they're acquired, you know. I'll bring in things like I do different snack tastings for my clients. You know, they'll come in and I'll say, okay, well, today I want you to try these three things. And it might be something that looks like an Oreo cookie and, that tastes like an Oreo cookie, but it's not. It's actually a different brand, and there's a whole different list of ingredients in here. And a lot of times they don't even know the difference. You know, and that just makes me so happy, because I say if there's one thing a week that these people can change, that all of us can change, really, you know, it would really make a difference for them, I think. And they get really excited, and they want to share it with their families and their friends. And, you know, and I don't work for any of these companies, you know, at all. I want to make that very clear. You know, there's just, you know, Abra and myself, we attend these natural food expos and conventions and seminars and things, and we're learning constantly about new cutting-edge products and things that we can share with our clients. And, you know, if something doesn't taste good, then, well, of course, we're not gonna suggest it, you know, because then immediately they're going to assume that this is health food. You know, and I don't want anyone ever feeling like they have to restrict themselves or that they're on a diet, so I've got to drink or eat this thing that I don't like. I think food should be something that's enjoyed. But, you know, I got to say, 99% of the things that we do taste that are healthy are actually delicious. So that's a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you can eat a very healthy diet and still have amazing, delicious food.
Exactly.
Right? And feel good. And diet, too, your taste will change.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. So let's talk about making those changes, though, because, you know, anyone can listen to this call and decide they're not going to drink diet soda anymore. Maybe they can drink iced tea instead if they make it home. And that's easy to make kind of that first change. But how do you make the next change and the next change and the next change?
It's all about creating a habit. And so I usually tell people it takes maybe about 2 to 3 weeks to actually create a habit. There was a story I had with a client, and this is funny. It was all about habit and association with her. It was, you know, she said, Karen, every single day I walk through my house. She walks in, there's the living room right in front of her, the kitchen's on her left. And every single time she walks through the door, she goes immediately to the kitchen, and there's cookies usually right there. And she has about 4 or 5 cookies, and then she walks upstairs, you know, goes and takes a shower or whatever, and goes on with her evening. And she said, I cannot break myself of this habit. And so I said, you know what, one day let's try going the back door instead. Just mix things up a little bit. And she came to me the next week, and she said, you're never going to believe this. I walked in the back door, and the steps were right in front of her. So as soon as she walked in, she just walked right up the steps and went on with her night and forgot about the cookies. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think, you know, it could be, let's say you're, you know, the drive-through on your way home is 2 blocks away, and it's on the left-hand side. Well, maybe you drive a different way home. See what happens. And I think that maybe, you know, the first couple of times it might be a little weird. It might, you know, you might feel like something's missing. But, you know, you give it a week or two, and you're not going to miss it. You're going to create a whole different habit. Maybe you're going to, maybe there's a Whole Foods on your way home now. Or, you know, maybe you'll end up, I don't know, stopping at a park, going for a walk, or meeting a friend, or, you know, going upstairs and taking a bath instead of going to those, you know, those addictive foods. So there's all different kinds of fun stories I hear from clients about, you know, just recreating new habits. And, yes, you've got to be patient with yourself. But it's very, you know, it's easier as time goes by.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I think you're so right about changing some of the simple things that you do just unconsciously, like the way you drive home from work. I mean, if you drive past McDonald's every day, go a different way.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
If that's what you're holding you back, then just create a new pattern of behavior and just have fun with it. Explore.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and I know that for a lot of people, it's a little bit more complicated than that, and I don't want to ever trivialize or make things sound more simple than it is, but a lot of times, little things do make a difference. You know, so of course, you know, someone who has things like, you know, addicted to these refined foods and processed foods and fast foods, of course, I would put them on a good supplement regimen filled with nutrition and whole food-based nutrition. Get them eating foods that their bodies are craving. You know, so starting with that as well as playing these little, you know, fun games with them about substitution. So it definitely, we bring it on, you know, all ends. I'm not just focusing on, you know, just don't drive home that way. But there's, you know, it comes from a lot of different angles, I guess I would say. So the physical, the emotional, the habitual, lifestyle, all of that kind of comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, let's talk about something you just mentioned, whole food nutrition. What does that mean?
Well, it means eating foods, for the most part, simply put, that don't come from packages, foods that are as close to nature as possible, so fresh fruits, vegetables, you know, I would say whole grains, healthy fats, which I think most people are very deficient in, and creating a balance of color on your plate, you know, little things like that. So foods that are bioavailable to the body, and as far as supplementation, I think that should be no different. I think we don't need to have synthetic nutrients. We need to be getting our supplements from whole food sources.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'm totally on board with that. But what is in whole food nutrition for people who, you know, aren't really familiar with it? What is in a whole food, like, say, a raw carrot that's not in something that you get in a packaged, you know, cookie or candy?
Right. Yeah. Well, first of all, you're getting fiber. You're getting all the carotenoids that would be in the carrot. And you're getting a full spectrum of nutrients that work together. And I think what happens is sometimes, you know, you'll go ahead and get bread, let's say, from the store, or some kind of packaged food. And they'll go ahead and strip it and refine it and bleach it and do all these things to it. And then they'll throw back some isolated nutrients, like they'll throw back some B vitamins, you know, that your body's really not even going to absorb, let's say. And the clients are saying, you know, but look, there's vitamins in here. You know, but I'm trying to explain that that's not how the body sees it. You know, just to digest some of these things that look like they've got all these vitamins, it's actually pulling minerals from your bones just to process and digest these things. So, you know, if you're going to go ahead and eat a carrot or eat a tomato and, you know, eat foods that actually, you know, greens, spinach, garlic, herbs and spices, these are foods that are actually, you know, they're bioavailable to the body. The body's going to immediately absorb all the nutrients that are in them. So it's a complete difference from foods that, you know, you'd get in packages that just actually have a nutrient written down on them.
Absolutely. You're totally right about that. And, you know, if you just look at, like, an apple, for instance, an apple, scientists have discovered over 10,000 phytonutrients or plant nutrients in just one apple. And it's like, and those are just the ones we discovered, right? There's probably many more we don't know about. And so I think we've become so arrogant in the scientific community in the West to say, oh, well, vitamin C or vitamin E or this one thing, if I put this in the bread, that's going to make it healthy for you, right? Whereas Mother Nature is saying, hey, there's tens of thousands. We need all of these to be healthy.
Exactly. And I think, you know, there's so much misinformation being put, you know, as far as marketing goes, I think, and as far as what people see on commercials and what's on packaged foods, that people are misled. You know, and it's a big, you know, it's a lot of these bigger companies that are just, you know, it's just factory farms and just trying to pound out food by the millions, you know, and it's not real food anymore. We're not eating real food anymore. And, you know, because they put something like light on a package, or fat-free, or low-carb, I'm trying to get my clients to understand that that doesn't mean anything. In fact, that often puts up a red flag. You know, if I'm going to see a lot of different promises written on a packaged food, that makes me want to say, let's flip this guy over and see what the actual ingredients are.
Mm, absolutely. Well, Well, let's talk about some more of those marketing misconceptions. I mean, what are some of those things that most people, the average American, thinks, oh, well, this is good for you, but in reality it can be the complete opposite?
Right. Well, I think the first thing has to do with numbers. You know, I think we're so programmed to look at numbers. So the first thing people want to do is flip the package over and see how many calories are in something, you know. So it'll say light, you know, L-I-T-E, and then it'll say less than 100 calories. And, you know, so I think that companies are smart, and they know that people gravitate towards numbers. So I think that that's the first thing. Things like fat-free, which is probably the biggest pet peeve of mine. Because in my opinion, if something like cheese, for example, or a food that's supposed to have fat, now does not have fat, it's no longer real food. And I think that people are starting to tell, you know, the difference between these things. It's usually filled with a ton of chemicals or sodium. Even restaurants, you know, make this mistake. They'll have this little section on their menu, you know, like the light favorites or the guiltless grill or all these things. And, you know, they may say, you know, they're 400 calories or less, but what are they actually eating? Is it actually better to have this 700-calorie hamburger than it is to have this healthy bean, black bean thing that has 7,000 milligrams of sodium? You know, so I think that I'm not saying that the burger's healthier, but I'm just trying to make people aware that, you know, things like restaurants and big companies want their foods to taste good. So they're going to find a way, no matter what they put on the labels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's all about, you know, psychology as well, because when people, you know, when this new diet comes out and says, oh, well, fat's bad for you, well, then all of these big companies make all these products without fat in them. And then we think, oh, well, these must be the healthy products. But it's just the same processed junk with all the sugar and the sodium, like you said, put in there. Yeah. And then people think, well, that's healthy for me now because this new diet came out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, just to use the fat one as an example, I think in the 80s, you know, when this fat-free, when this whole thing came out, I think the obesity epidemic, like, tripled, you know? I mean, so everyone was eating all these, like, fat-free foods, and they were just thinking, wow, they're free because there's no fat. And it made people fatter and fatter and fatter, you know? And so, and now they're deficient in a million things. So it's like, and I see this every single day. I mean, it's gotten to be just ridiculous, and I don't blame a lot of them, because it's just misinformation being put out. So I think one of the things we would do at Nutritious America is sort of demystify nutrition for people and just break it down very simply. What kinds of foods do you want to be eating? What kinds of foods do you want to be staying away from? And how can we realistically implement a diet or meal plan for these people that's something that they can sustain?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think it's so important to have some place where you can actually go to get the real information. I mean, the truth behind the nutrition, right? Because with all these billions of dollars being spent a year by these major food companies and fast food companies to kind of get people to buy their products, we get so confused about what is true and what's not true. You know, are eggs good for you or are eggs bad for you? You know, every week it's like a new study comes out.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I actually think go ahead and have some eggs, you know, and because what they're going to do is they're going to come in and say, you know, I only eat egg whites, and then they open up their soda. So really, you know, things like, what are they afraid of? Cholesterol, which is ridiculous because it's, you know, refined foods and alcohol and all these things that are actually raising cholesterol, not an egg yolk. You know, so there's also that. There's such a disconnect that people get. You know, they're eating things like fake eggs and, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with egg whites, but at the same time, don't just have egg whites but then open up a can of Diet Coke with it, you know. It's not making much sense there.
Right. Well, and I think that's what happens a lot, too, with all the misinformation, is that people start to rationalize. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, I'm eating these egg substitutes, for instance, and so it's okay, I can have my diet soda now. Right? They think, well, I did one good thing for my body, so now I can have this other one and treat myself. And they kind of get stuck in that habit or that pattern of always rewarding themselves for making a good choice, but the good choice was just something that was marketed to them.
Right. Exactly. And it's in, you know, if because if it's good for me, for example, and then they'll come to me and say, how come I'm not losing weight? Or how come I have diabetes? Or I'm insulin resistant, you know, or all of these. I mean, it's just, it's become so simple right now. You know, what did you eat the last 3 weeks? And then they'll go ahead and lay their diet out for me, you know, and it's basically 4 or 5 coffees, and then that, you know, kind of suppresses their appetite, and so there's no breakfast. And then they'll end up having, you know, well, they'll say, oh, I had a salad. And I'll say, okay, well, what was in your salad? Because they think that they're being so good, you know, by having the salad. And then they'll say, oh, well, some lettuce and croutons and a little shredded carrot in there. And then I had some ranch dressing with it. And so then, in my opinion, I'll be just, okay, well, so what kind of, let's talk about the nutrition that was in that salad. You know, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, I thought I was doing something good. You know, or even worse, you know, they'll say, Karen, you're going to be so proud of me. I got this spinach salad, and I put in, you know, bell pepper and broccoli and, you know, any kind of vegetable that they can find. And guess what? I didn't put any dressing. I had no fat whatsoever. And I'll say, well, that's great. You didn't absorb any of these vitamins. You know, so I think some people actually try to be too good, you know, and in their quest to be too good, they end up, you know, becoming deficient in things like the healthy fats that I was talking about. So there's also that spectrum. You know, there's also those people that kind of go a little bit overboard, I think, because they're trying to be so good and they're trying to weigh their meals and they're trying to, you know, be so precise, and then they start to over-exercise and they become a little bit compulsive. So we're also on to that, to those people that don't just relax a little bit. You know, so we've got all kinds of clients.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Then let's break it down to, you know, its simplest parts if we can. I mean, what things do people absolutely need to include in their diet if they're going to live the healthiest life they really want to live?
Well, I mean, like I said, whole foods, I think, needs to be number one. My, you know, our philosophy at Nutritious America is basically it's what you're not eating. You know, so it isn't really the problem, you know, that you had this chocolate cake. It's when was the last time you had broccoli, you know, or kale or spinach, or have you ever tried kale? Or, you know, all, things like olive oil or coconut oil or herbs and spices, things like that. I think that it, people forget, you know. So what I'll do is I'll create a little list of these would be the best carbohydrates, these would be the best proteins for you, and these would be the best fats for you, and to always have a little bit of a combination through the day of these things. And I think what's right for one person may not be right for another. Some people may be sensitive to gluten or dairy, let's say, for example, or some people do fine with it. Some people, I think, are better off plant-based diets, but then there are those people that do a little better with some meat. So it's all about bio-individuality. I've got tons of questions that I would ask a client, looking at them, seeing what kinds of diets they've been on, how their body responds to certain foods, and then we just go from there. But for the most part, everything is whole food based.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think you're totally right about it. It's what you're not eating. It's, you know, mm-hmm. It's okay to have dessert every once in a while, but if you're not eating the fruits and the vegetables, the things that are protecting your body from oxidative stress and all this damage going on, then it doesn't matter, you know, what says on the label, you're not getting the nutrients that protect your body. And so if you just focus on adding back those fruits and vegetables and those whole foods, then it's okay to have some other areas that you're still working on, but at least you're getting the protection that you need.
Exactly. You know, there are things that we come across just in the environment that we can't always control. You know, I live in Los Angeles, and we're sitting on a bed of smog. You know, I have my BlackBerry to my head right now. You know, I mean, there are things that we can't always control. Even grilling meat, you know, in the summertime, everybody's freaking out about that, microwaving and plastics and things. And I think that, yes, you want to avoid those things, but we can't always. And I think that the only thing we can do is focus on what we have control over, and that is what we're putting into our body, so nutrition. It all comes back to nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's so right, is that, you know, you got to focus on what you can change, because there are many things in life that you can't change, and there's no use worrying about it, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us today. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about where we can find more information about your company and if people want to look you up online?
Yeah, absolutely. We're nutritiousamerica.com. And we're basically, you know, a wellness company. Like I mentioned, we specialize in online or in-person nutrition consultations in New York and Los Angeles. We do corporate lectures, weight loss programs, And we also specialize in nutrition therapy for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, endocrine disorders, and women's health. You can find us at nutritiousamerica.com. We even have materials that are on there as far as our teleclasses, where to find us, you know, a calendar of events and things where Abra and I will be speaking. We're also going to be starting wellness retreats, so we'll be maybe visiting your area at some point. So really good to just check the website for more details on that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Karen. You've just shared a wealth of knowledge and information with us today, and really appreciate it. I know it's going to help so many people and help a lot of people get healthy.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey there. It's Tom Corson-Knowles again. Hope you enjoyed the show today with Karen Sherwood. Isn't she absolutely amazing? Remember to come check us out at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Come join the community of like-minded people like you who are passionate about health, wellness, nutrition, and fitness. And remember, you can get your free report with Dr. Corson's top 5 nutrition tips at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Wishing you an absolutely incredible day. Take care.